You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Welcome to another Sunday, a beautiful Sunday here in Southern California and on LA Talk Radio. I want to say thank you to all our listeners and sponsors and supporters. We're nearing our five-year episode, our anniversary show in September. I'm really excited about it. And we've got some updates on other things. I'll do that at the bottom of the show. Right now, I want to bring back Rick Caballo from Dead Horse Branding. Rick, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, dear? Welcome back.
Not bad for a Sunday night.
Not bad, right? That's right. So you're on the East Coast, right? You're in, where are you at exactly?
Well, we're in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And we're 2 hours in front of you guys, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad, right? Yeah. Six o'clock there. So thank you for sharing another portion of your Sunday with us. I wanted to just commit the whole show to you because you are really someone that is killing it. You're killing that horse.
beating it. That's what it is. beating the hell out of it.
Right, well, so for folks that maybe missed our little teaser snippet last time, why don't we go full screen, Sam? And why don't you introduce yourself, Rick, and tell us who you are and what your brand is?
Okay. So I'm Rick Caballo. I'm the co-owner of Dead Horse Branding, Nashville, Tennessee, and the art director. My wife is the other co-owner, and she is the business and the brains behind it all. I'm just the arty-farty guy. And we work with all brands, mainly in the music business because we're in the Nashville, Tennessee, and fashion. But we work across all brands from strategy, photography, logo design, websites, publicity, marketing, licensing. We do it all in-house. We've got a small team of about 8. And we all wear several hats at the same time, and we have fun doing it, and we love working with some of our clients that we have.
Really cool. This is really cool because I can tell whenever we speak, and even through the email with Danielle, everybody's having a good time over their dead horse. It is not a dead horse. It's actually a very happy and alive horse. I mean, you guys seem cohesive, and in every time I speak to you, which is now this is the second time, but I guess you're just smiling and happy. What's the key to that, Rick? What, you know, some of us startup people are exhausted. How can we?
It's craziness. Right now, I can tell you, I haven't stopped working all weekend. I just had a quick shower to come in and speak to you, but getting our offices ready. We've moved office, got several clients. We work on several different time zones from Australia to Europe. It's crazy, and I mean, the best asset we have is our staff. They're amazing, and they carry a big load for us so we can do what we do.
Yeah, that's good. It's smart. It's delegation, it sounds like. You mentioned your wife has the business acumen side. I'm sure you have business acumen as well, but she's carrying that. You're more on the creative. And I think that's really smart, especially as a couple, right? Because you're maximizing each other's strengths. You're probably not bumping heads too much because she's handling what she's good at. You are too. Can you speak to that respectfully with boundaries if you want? But like,
yeah, it's not easy. Luckily, she's very creative. She is very creative. Very business and some creative. I'm very creative and some business. My biggest problem with business is the follow through. I can point fingers and do this and do that, but following up's the hard thing for me because I'm a creative guy. Yeah. She's amazing. She keeps the wheels turning, and it's not easy working with your partner or your wife or husband, but if it all locks in together and you're creating great stuff, it flows a lot easier.
Yeah, I love that. And there's just this level of trust with your partner that you really can't find anywhere else, you know, with family and friends, but your partners, really, you're building this together.
And not only that, it's the knowledge that she might be in the same room at the same time and she's listening to the same knowledge. So I reckon she knows how to design a logo as good as I can. Right now, she's heard it all before. So it's just a matter of, just trying to work together as easy as possible.
So, all right. So let's recap, you know, quickly about the name, because we did touch on it on our little teaser interview that we had before a few weeks ago. But in case people missed that, tell us how you came up with Dead Horse as the name of your company.
So my last name is Caballo. It's Spanish. I'm Spanish. I was born in Australia, and it means horse. And we had a fashion brand called Corello. Melissa Kaur and Rick Caballo, Corello, put them together. And we dressed a lot of celebrities from Alice Cooper to Steven Tyler to Miranda Lambert to Flora Georgia Line, the Nashville TV show. And one of the designs was the logo that we have today. It's called the Dead Horse logo, and it was a Dead Horse T-shirt. It was a design, and we started up our company because we started working with Dead Horse, with Duck Dynasty, we started working with them, and then we went, well, let's start a branding company because obviously there's a lot of space in the world for it, and we were doing it already for our Corello brand, and people were asking us, what, you know, who does your photography, who does your website, who does your copy and all that sort of stuff. So we said we did it. So we started a branding company. So everyone loved the Dead Horse T-shirt. So we used that as the logo and the name. And I mean, the skeleton frame is the framework for every brand. So we just put flesh on the bone for everybody else that needs it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. And you just kind of went with the flow of it. And oftentimes I find projects kind of do that, right? Like you go towards where the energy is, like what people are paying attention to, and then what you're good at, and it kind of just happens. But
yeah, there's a negative content to that name,
connotation,
but that's, we work with musicians and fashion people, so it's cool to them. It's like, oh, that's cool. And but we have worked some corporate companies that, like banks and venture capitalist companies that come to us for marketing or whatever, and they love it. They think it's cool. They think they just want to be cool and edgy like what we do and our clients. So it's like, okay, works either way.
Yeah. You want to be a little edgy, and that's good. So, all right. So let's talk about some tips for startups, right? Or people who are looking to do a licensing deal or, you know, do a 180 on their branding or just start with their branding. What tips, why would people come to your firm and hire your team? What can you offer some of the startup community?
Good question. So basically it's all about strategy for us to start off with. Like, it's like being able to drive to LA, to New York. What's the strategy? Okay, I'm going to drive, I'm going to fly. What can I afford? What are the finances? So I know, from LA to New York, it's going to take, let's say, 5 days. I'm going to need 4 nights in a hotel. I'm going to need to gas my truck up or my car up maybe 4 or 5 times. That's going to go, okay, well, it's going to cost me $1,000. I've only got 900. So it's like, well, why are we going to go there? We're going to get stranded halfway, if you know what I mean. Then we have to allow a little bit of buffer because we're going to go left or right. We'll get lost. So you have to factor all that into your brand. And a lot of people don't do that. So a new startup, for example, let's say it's a hair salon, already the outgoing costs are through the roof. You know, you got to pay the rent, you got to pay electricity, you got to pay staff, you got to get a chair, you got to get a mirror, you got to get all the tools. So we work out the strategy and what's it look like and what's, you know, what's it feel like? What's it smell like? All those things. What's your favorite color? The other question I do, especially for musicians, I always say, what would you be doing if you weren't a musician? And I said, oh, I'd be a truck driver, or I'd be a whatever, or a motocross rider, or whatever that is. And then we say, okay, let's implement some of that into your brand, because you need to be true to your core. And then you've got an audience, a captive audience already. So if you're a hair salon, for example, that's really edgy and rocky, and you're focusing on getting celebrity market, it's a lot easier than just being a Joe Schmo down the road that's doing $10 haircuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I say stay true. Work out the strategy first, where you want to go, where you want to be in 5 years, what sort of finances you have got to kickstart something, and then work from there. You know, all the nitty-gritty stuff can come later, but just high-level stuff for now, and then we can get to the crux of it as we do a consult. It just comes out.
Yeah, a discovery. That's really a great way to think of it. Like, how are you going to get to New York from LA? Are you going to drive? Are you going to fly? And then what's your budget and your time frame? I really love that. I might have to use that and defer to you and give you the credit, because that's a great, you're right. A lot of people do not think of it. They come up with the idea, they get excited, and they're behind the ball. Like my first startup, I was behind the ball because I didn't have, you know, I didn't know. I was just, you know, throwing things against the wall, but I knew I had a great idea. And you didn't really look at it like that.
One thing that our finance manager told me one day, and it stuck like hell years and years ago, he says, you hang numbers of words, not words of numbers. So what that means is the word meaning the objective. The objective is to drive to New York from LA. What's the cost on that? You don't go, I've got 10 grand. Let's do this business and I'll build space rockets. Because that 10 grand will get soaked up in a second. So you need to be, the objective needs to be clear. And then you can go, okay, what's that going to cost? I can't do it how I want to do it. Okay, well, maybe I'm not ready yet. Or maybe what if I do away with this and do away with that, is it still going to stand up on its own? Is it still going to be a viable business to grow? So there's sort of certain things you can adjust and be flexible on the way, but the core of it is you really need to get that objective down and work out what the cost is.
Yes. Great.
And me as a designer, like, there shouldn't be any constraints with design or creativity. You should just go for it. But I've been doing it that long that half of my brain's going, okay, how much is this going to cost? If I take this off, am I going to bring the budget down? Is it going to stand on its own? Yeah. Or do I spend the extra dollar? Is the juice worth the squeeze? If I get these napkins for my hair salon to put on the side there with like gold leaf and embossed thing for my clients, is that really going to help my business, or is it just going to be throwing money out the window?
Yeah.
And that's something that took me a long time to learn, because I'm a creative guy. I'm like, I want this, I want that. You know, I want a little red tag on the side of my shirt. You know, it's going to cost you an extra 50 cents per shirt. 1,000 shirts, it's a lot of extra money. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Yeah. So you just got to work it out. It's all numbers first, but don't let it stifle the creativity. You know, have big dreams, big plans, and then crunch the numbers and be realistic about, you know, what the outcome's going to be.
No, that's really, really great. And I think you're saying, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? You often say keep it lean. Like in the beginning, keep it really lean. But I got to tell you, I'm so glad I didn't speak to you before I did the pandemic films and ran around the world, because I had no budget. I don't even know how I did it, Rick. I think back and I'm like, I think I was really extra crazy. Like, what got into me? But I'm so glad I'm here in one piece, but it was quite stressful. But people along the way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've had those moments too, even before COVID, where we'd be working 80 hours a week. Ugh. And it's just ridiculous. It's like, and spinning our wheels sometimes, but it was those lessons that got us to a point now where we're like, we got this. We know exactly what to do. Yeah. If no one's showing you the way, then you have to, the only way to learn is mistakes, and don't make them again.
That's absolutely right. Learn from them and go forward. All right. I'm excited to have you plug. We're going to keep talking with Rick. Rick, plug all your socials, your email. Like, where can people sign up with Dead Horse Branding if they are itching? They've got their budget, they've got their game plan, and they want to talk to you.
So you can reach us at info@deadhorsebranding.com. Dead Horse Branding is our Instagram handle. Same as Facebook. LinkedIn, we're all on all those platforms. But if you go to our website, www.deadhorsebranding.com, you can reach out to us there, and one of our girls will get back to you right away.
Yeah, we shout out to Danielle. Hi, Danielle. Okay, so let's talk about your dream client for Q3 and a half, four, because I guess we're in two and a half, three. Oh, whatever. Okay. What's your ideal client for the rest of this year? Maybe someone that you've never produced or, you know, branded before.
Yeah. We do a lot in the music business. So I would say we're doing fine. We've got some great legacy brands, bands and producers and music, famous people that we've worked with. But We also have some startup musicians that are climbing the ranks, and we're good there. So me personally, I want to do more in the motorcycle world, custom motorcycles and stuff. So there's a few brands out there that I'm looking at that I want to work with. I just at my age and how many years I've been doing this, now it's time for my turn to create. These days, as most creative people get older, it becomes you become a puppeteer and you start, okay, you do that, make that pink, make that blue, turn that line on, and you're working it. So I get to get my rocks off through other people's accomplishments, because if I was to sit down and paint a painting like this one, it's something I do on my own, or I can be involved with 10 projects at the same time and still do that painting.
That's awesome. Yeah, I see what you mean. You can delegate out and get your rocks off. Like, all right, I helped create that and help show someone the way, and we did what we did, but I can also do what I want to do and have that release of creativity.
Yeah, right? And like if I asked our staff, they would all have different answers as well, which is great. We love working with anyone. Like, it's a challenge. We love working with startups, and we love working with legacy musicians and legacy brands, because they've had a great career. They've gone up, especially for musicians. And then as they get older or they pass away, the estate takes over and they start flattening out. The music starts being irrelevant over time, and then it starts going down. So our place is here, and give them an uptick, licensing, new music, merchandise, all that sort of stuff, just to give brands a little bit longer longevity. Like, as you can see, Elvis Presley is still around, still kicking ass, like massive brand, massive dollars getting pumped through there. So that's why we love working with legacy brands, to give them the outgoing of their work, like send them off into the sunset and be proud of something and let it keep generating income for itself.
Smart identification on the flow chart there and the lifespan of a brand. To you identified a niche in there where that was really smart. What analytics did you use for that? Is just something that you saw?
Well, it depends. Like, for example, I'll use an example of Bo Diddley, who is the originator. He created rock and roll. Amazing, amazing talent. We've had the opportunity, and luckily we've worked with them for a few years now. As the music becomes irrelevant, you can see the numbers. They're not the estate's not getting them checks anymore, as many and few far between. So it's like, how do we reinvent this brand? You know, we bring out music that wasn't released before. We bring in collaborations. We re-record. We do new merchandise. We do licensing deals from alcohol to figurines to guitars, all that sort of stuff, to keep that name alive. Especially for someone that's Bo Diddley, deserves that. He created just a genre of music, multiple genres. He's been credited for rap music as well, early rap music.
Yeah.
So he deserves that. Elvis Presley got it. I mean, Elvis stole a lot of his moves. They used to film him from the waist up because they didn't want to see Bo Diddley's legs doing this, because that's what Elvis was doing. Yeah. So there's a lot of history there that needs to be celebrated and protected, and that's we're very passionate about that. And even the startup bands and brands, we want to make sure they get enough juice to keep going, because our thing is, if we can get them going and making money, then they're going to come back to us and use our services, and we'll take them to the next level again and just keep growing together. We've got clients that have been with us for 10 years, because it's a good relationship. It's better to take a little bit on the front end than all of it on the front end, because if we just take a little bit and in 5 years' time that business is blown up and it's doing great things, then we're going to be a part of that journey,
no matter what.
There's companies out there that are just, okay, it's going to be X amount, boom, thank you, and then the poor startup doesn't have any room to grow. They've put all their money into the startup costs, but they haven't thought about marketing.
Yeah. No, it's true. I always say, you want to play not that it's a game, but you want to have the long-term, long-game relationship if you can provide that. And it comes through, the passion for the legacy brands and the music and making sure that they're enjoying that season of their career and the estate is, that really does come through, and it's smart. I mean, if I'm looking at the, like you said, the lifespan of the brand, you got them right there where it's about to go down, and you're bringing the chart, you know, the numbers back up.
So it is important, and we're actually we started a branding module. It's called the DH7, and it's the strategy, logo, identity, photography, public relations, marketing, and licensing. So those key seven formulas, they work on any brand. The formula is the same, but it just changes what the genre of the music or the type of brand it is. Is it, you know, a hair salon? Is it a big banking company? It doesn't matter. The formulas are the same. So we've been lucky to teach it at a few universities in the US and a couple in colleges in Australia, and it's going well. We really enjoy giving back to especially the students, so they can learn. By the time they finish their college, they already got their brand down. They're ready to go.
They're already ready to go. I love it. That's awesome. So this is great. So, you know, I'll just throw this out there, and you can take, you know, tell me how you, what you think about this. As we know, there's a lot of AI growth and advancement. It's an exciting time to learn about AI. And as a creative, you know, fellow creative, I'm a little bit hybrid like that. I'm like creative, but then also there's the business portion that I enjoy. But with the future of a lot of things being, you know, going to automation, how do you see, you know, let me rephrase it. Let me say it like this. What types of services and goods and products should people perhaps not start up right now because AI is coming in? Where should they be leaning in? That's a hard question, everybody.
That's a tough question. That's a tough question. I mean, it's quite sad, actually, because our design skills are going to be less and less. But I think we've just been through a pandemic 4 years ago. The lights are going to go out again, and you better be ready to have your skills. And unfortunately, the pendulum will swing. You know, we'll get a period of, like, if the lights are out, people are going to have to learn how to do stuff with their hands again.
Yeah.
My thing is, I can work with my hands, whether it's build a house, do a sculpture, paint, design something, sketch out lettering all by hand. I can do all that.
Yeah.
So that's all right. I've started using AI now, and it's like blowing my mind.
Great, right? It's exciting, right?
Like, even in Photoshop, it's like, you just circle, do this, and like, oh wow, that would have taken me 20 minutes to do that, done in 5 seconds.
That's right.
So I think stuff like in construction,
yeah,
although there's going to be some automation there, I think construction is going to be fine for a while, because there's a lot of heavy lifting, and obviously there's a lot of machinery that can do that.
Yeah.
But as far as design, music, I think it's going to be taken over, because a lot of people are going to go that route and just go, do me a logo for my hair salon. I keep bringing up hair salon, but I haven't got one.
We've got great hair, so there you go.
Not my hair either. So design a logo, and it's, boom, it's done. And then 5 years' time, everyone's going to have the same music. It's happening now. The same design, logos, same merchandise, same everything. And then it's going to get to a point where people are just going to get sick of it, and then people are going to have to start manipulating AI.
And thank you for saying that. I think that you're saying this really, you're hitting on something, because currently right now I'm studying it in one of my modules for my MBA, and I'm really loving it. And if we use it in an ethical way and we use it in a smart way, like you said, it'll give you some time back in your day where you could be doing other things. And the creative and the personalization of it, that AI can't give you that, right? You still have to show up and perform at the concert and play the guitar. You still have to, if you want something with a personal touch, you still have to prompt and tell it what to do. And you have to use your eyes and your brain to discern if this looks like the hairstylist shop down, you know. So there's ways where we can lean in and give quality to it. But yeah, construction's one of them. I think, you know, personalized services are safe. But like fast food, right? That's going to be automated. Repetitive jobs will be automated.
Yeah, and then obviously the quality of the food's going down and all that sort of stuff, and we're getting poisoned every day by food, you know. But I think, like you said, it's important, and it's technology, and we're sort of advancing as a human race. We got to either grasp it or get left behind. You know, it's like the radio people hanging on to radio and like, no, TV is just a fad. It's like, no, TV's, and that's happening right now. So TV is gone now. It's all streaming now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Pretty much. You have to go down that route. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But I've seen professional songwriters use it as ideas. I said, give me this. And then they use their brain skills to go, okay, that's a good idea. I'll piece that with this and that's that. But we've also had people that are underskilled that I worked with a video director and for a client of ours. And I said, we want a treatment. You can't just say it's going to be this and that and that's it. There's nothing in between. So we get a treatment about 10 minutes later and it's like, it made no sense at all. I'm like, how does this even make sense?
Yeah.
And then one of our staff members said, he's done that on ChatGPT.
Yeah. And that, you got to have character development, and there's, you can come up with a concept, but you have to use your brain to.
There's got to be a solid storyline, and that's with anything. It can be a music video, or it could be a company that you're developing a brand around. So story is everything, you know. You need to have enough train line behind you and in front of you to create something special, because people want to know your backstory and your front story, where you're going. And a lot of people that just start up new, it's like, boom, we're just starting up new. It's like, well, hang on, let's get the story down. Why did you start up? You know, how long has this been going? Why are you so passionate about it? Was it your family heritage, or is it, you know, why? So story is so important.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. AI as a tool can be amazing and give you part of your day back, as Rick shared. Guys, Rick Caballo, I want to say it correctly, Dead Horse Branding. Give us your handles and where people can find you one more time, Rick.
www.deadhorsebranding.com, Dead Horse Branding at Instagram. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook. Drop us a line if you need help with anything. We love to do consulting as well. Like, a lot of people can't afford the whole service. So we just go in and consult for the first time, give them some guardrails to stay in between and give them some vision. Mm-hmm. And then later on, as they start turning over some cash, then they can come in for us for some more services. Because a lot of people go out there with publicity. Oh, we need to get some publicity. We're like, well, hang on a second. You haven't even got a website. So if you're on TV today, if we got you on TV, how do you take advantage of that placement?
Drive the traffic. Where are you driving them?
100,000 eyes on you. Now what? Yeah. What do you got to sell them? What have you got to capture their email with? You know, how are you going to approach them back? So you got to make sure you start the foundation and work your way up. No one starts at the roof.
No.
No. You need that foundation.
You got to have you got to put the flooring and the walls down. Oh, I love that analogy. I do use that one a lot. Oh, well, Rick, thank you again for sharing again. And please thank your wife for sharing you with us on a Sunday evening. And I can't wait to check in with you again and see what you're up to.
Yeah, I think you need to speak to Melissa. She's actually knows a lot more about me than business. But
let's have her on next time.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. That's Rick. Good to see you, Rick, with Dead Horse Branding.
Have a good one.
All right. See you soon, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. So this show is 30 minutes today. Lots going on, exciting things going on. We have in August, the Pandemic Project on Roku and YouTube. We'll make some announcements and do some publicity for that and some ads. So you'll be seeing more announcements and get an update on that. And we have a few celebrity charities coming up in the fall. Jacaranda again in November. We have F Cancer coming up as well, and some other cool things. So stick around for those announcements. Thank you so much to our sponsors. And I want to read them out this time so that I don't miss anybody, because this brain right here is a good brain, but it's a busy brain. Okay, so I want to say thank you to Omar Vacarera Studios. Thank you to the West Coast Olive Oil. What's going on, Mark? Thank you to Michael Solberg Family Wines. How you doing, Leah? Shout out to Next Level Global Solutions. How's it going, Shane? Thank you, Dr. Jess from the Dr. Jess brand. Iron Lace, how's it going, Marina? Thank you so much. And of course, Sam here at LA Talk. We are, yeah, we're barreling close to the fifth year show. I can't wait to tell you more about that. What will you start up today? Be well, be safe. See you next week.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.